Welcome to the Breach Podcast, a Charlie Mike production. I'm Ty Braxton, and I just want to say thank you for taking the time to listen in today. I discuss issues surrounding us and how to build our faith and strengthen our walk with the Lord. I want to provide you with tools so that you can Charlie Mike. Charlie Mike is better understood as continue mission, and I want you to be able to Charlie Mike in your own mission field. And before we get started, hit the like button, subscribe, and hit the bell notification so you can be notified of future videos that I post. And also check out our shop. The link will be in the description below. And if you'd like to partner with me and donate, that information will be in the description as well. So I have this obsession with stained glass windows or anything stained glass. I love the artwork and I love how archaic it looks. And I will go out of my way to look for stained glass. And if I find it, I'll try to convince my wife how good it will look in the kitchen or somewhere else in the house and how it'll look awesome with the light coming through it. And she hates it. That's not her thing. And she hates when I find it because she knows what's coming. But the reason I thought about this topic about stained glass was I was reading the first book of the series, Pentecost to Present. And the author was talking about stained glass specifically when discussing the building and construction of cathedrals. And the author said this: "The distinguished, brightly stained glass windows seem to welcome the light of God, while elaborate and decorative schemes taught the story of God's creation in biblical allegory and explained the gospel message to a largely illiterate society." Now, I love all of what the author said, and a few things that really stuck out to me when reading that portion of the book is the story of the gospel being told through the art on the glass. And it was as if the light of God was welcomed in. And that last sentence about a society that was largely illiterate profited from those stained glass windows because the gospel was depicted on those stained glass windows. We live in a society today that is largely illiterate of the gospel in the things of God. Not that they haven't heard about Jesus or the cross, but they are illiterate of the many truths that are taught and found in the Bible and the power of the Holy Spirit and what we are supposed to do with the gospel and the Holy Spirit and how Jesus calls us to change and follow him. So let's take a look at stained glass and put it into the perspective of your story. Look through stained glass in cathedrals and churches across the world, and it tells the story of Scripture and of past saints. So we can look at your life as stained glass and see the story of you, because if you're a follower of Jesus, you are referred to as saints in the Bible. So we are stained glass, and the picture of it tells a story through testimony. It can shed colorful light through your life for others to see. And the Scripture can also be viewed as stained glass. So through Scripture, we see blind Bartimaeus crying out to Jesus while being told to shut his mouth by everyone around him. But yet Bartimaeus became even louder and continued to cry out to Jesus. It says in Mark 10:46-52, "Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus," which means son of Timaeus, "was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' Jesus stopped and said, 'Call him.' So they called to the blind man, 'Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you.' Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. 'What do you want me to do for you?' Jesus asked. The blind man said, 'Rabbi, I want to see.' 'Go,' said Jesus, 'your faith has healed you.' Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road." Through this scripture, or stained glass, because we see a story in it, and testimony, also stained glass, we see a man healed and able to see. Also, through another stained glass window, we see the man at the pool of Bethesda getting up and walking. In John 5, 1 through 8, it says, "After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first, after the stirring of the water, was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, 'Do you want to be made well?' The sick man answered him, 'Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps before me.' Jesus said to him, 'Rise, take up your bed and walk.' And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked." Now, I'm not going to go into all this scripture about the pool. I want to focus on the lame man himself and the conversation, an eventful conversation that took place between him and Jesus. So let's take a step back and look at the first story one more time. Bartimaeus cried out to Jesus when being told to be quiet. He would not let anything come between him and Jesus. He pressed in while blind and did not let his disability or the hindrance of those around him stop him from pressing into Jesus. But the man at the pool of Bethesda almost let his worldly understanding keep him from experiencing Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus asks us today, do you want to walk? Do you want to see? Are you going to make excuses and try to avoid being made well to appease our finite minds and those around us? Or are we going to respond like Bartimaeus and cry out, "Jesus, have mercy on me"? Are we going to embrace darkness that comes from separation from Jesus, that blocks the display of our stained glass story for no one to see? Or will we cry out for the light of the world to display his glory through our stained glass story for all the world to see? And when they see it, they will marvel when they see that light shining through stained glass, like I do when I see stained glass. There are reasons for light being prevented to shine through stained glass. For instance, we're going to use a couple examples here. The Bible won't shed forth light if we don't open it. In Psalm 119, 130, it says, "The unfolding of your word gives light." Your life can't produce light if you isolate yourself from the world. Now, in the Old Testament, only one priest could go into the Holy of Holies and could only get there through a veil. And it was super thick and it blocked the light of God's glory. But when Christ died, the veil was torn. And that was so we could have access to the Holy of Holies through the sacrifice of Jesus. But many still live on the other side of that veil or curtain, and they think that is the only place God can work from behind the veil. They don't let his light shine on and through them. The veil reminds me of window curtains. Nobody puts curtains on stained glass because it would take away from the beauty of the art and the colorful light of glory that comes through the stained glass window. But we must remember that the glory is not the stained glass window. Now, I love stained glass, but I would never be able to enjoy it without the light. The glory is the light that comes through the window, because without the light, no glory is shown. The stained glass window is just another object in darkness. So if there's no light, the stained glass window is just another object in darkness. Nobody can see the power of your testimony or story without the light. It cannot be gazed upon in awe without the light. No one can marvel at it. We live in dark times, and there is death and destruction all around us. We see it on the news constantly. We see it on social media. Fear is running rampant, and people are looking for the light, but they're looking in all the wrong places, unfortunately. But Matthew 4:16, we see, "The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. So even though it seems we're in the valley of the shadow of death, we see in the scripture, light can dawn in that darkness. So let that be said of us. Let those sitting in darkness see the dawning light that comes through us. We need to remember that glass can break, though. It's very fragile. A simple stone can put a hole in it. This reminds me of Micah 7:8. It says, "Do not rejoice over me, my enemy. When I fall, I will arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me." God can still be a light to us, even if we fall and break. His light can still shine through the colorful pieces of beauty, even if it's shattered. If your life is shattered, God can still display his glory through you. People can see that light. Stained glass, I've noticed, has different uses in different cultures. And I've traveled all over the world, but locally even, you can see this. Like at the beach, you can see stained glass used for different things. In the mountains, you can see stained glass used for different things. I've been to Iraq and Afghanistan and Kuwait and different places, and you can still see stained glass used for different things. I've seen broken pieces of glass being used as wind chimes or rescued pieces in mosaics or other art. Now, when we are broken and God shines his light into our lives and the wind of the Holy Spirit moves us, there will be a sound like the stained glass that seems to be dangling by a thin string. It still makes beautiful sound and could not have gotten to that point unless broken. God can use us for different purposes only once we are broken. Just like a seed cannot grow until it falls to the ground and dies, as it says in John 12:24-26. And that says, "Unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." But we need to be careful not to marvel at stained glass alone, like a standalone object, like at a person. We need not marvel at a person, like I've been guilty of doing with actual stained glass. Our stained glass must shine before others. Why? In Matthew 5:16, it says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So when they see our good works, we are not the ones who get the glory. The light gets the glory. But people will see the glory in us because in 1 John 6:7, it says, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin." So one thing I've noticed in the scripture and in stained glass windows is many times it takes multiple stained glass windows to tell a complete story. So we need to have fellowship with one another or do life together so we can be encouraged and reminded of God's glorious light and power through each piece of the story. But we cannot do that unless we are set in position for Jesus, the light, to shine through each piece. Now in Ephesians 5:14, it says, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." If he is shining on your life, that light will shine through. And when we display the glory of the light, we can take the title of children of the light. If you haven't surrendered your life to Christ and are ready to come to God, we at Charlie Mike would like to lead you in a prayer in just a moment. But first, we want to be clear. Praying a sinner's prayer is not a ticket into heaven. These are not magic words. You must follow Christ and live for him. You cannot receive salvation by your own merits, but by what Jesus has already done. Ask to receive the Holy Spirit to be filled and experience what God has for you. You will not live the same life, and you won't be able to keep Jesus to yourself if you become a Christ follower. 1 John 2:4 tells us that the one who says, "I have come to know him," and does not keep his commandments is a liar. Those commandments are to love God and to love others. If you love God, you will follow him. And if you truly love others, you will want others to experience God and give their lives to him as well. So if you are ready to pray, pray this: God, I ask for forgiveness. I believe Jesus died for me, and nothing I have done wrong is too great for the power of his blood that was shed for me. I am ready to forsake the world and live a changed life because I realize how much you love me. I love you, and I'm ready to live for you. If you made the decision to surrender yourself to God and follow Jesus, I encourage you to spend time daily with him in prayer, reading his word, and worshiping him for who he is. Much will be revealed to you in this time with him. Be a part of a community of believers who grow in the fullness of God's word, and join a church that does the same. Get involved and stay accountable with each other. Also, please let us know that you made this decision by emailing us at charliemike.me@gmail.com or message us on Facebook at facebook.com/charliemikeinternational.